Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. However, there is another reading I would like to go to. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I'll be reading Romans in the King James Version, Colossians in the New International Version. And what I love about series, Bishop's not a fan of series. I'm a fan of series because I think I'm a fan of series because I preach like I would want to be preached to. And this is what I like about series. When I was in high school, I took speech class. Never had to study, never had to do anything because I'm a natural talker. But the thing I remember about speech class is this. In your introduction, you tell them what you're about to tell them. The body of the speech, you tell them what you are telling them. And in the conclusion, you tell them what you just told them. What I like about series is we take one concept and principle from the Word of God and we unwrap that thing like a layer. And the farther we go, the more you peel an onion, the more it stinks. The more you unwrap the Word of God, the more revelation is in it. And then secondly, I'm hard-headed. And sometimes, man, I could hear that. Can y'all hear that? I'm hard-headed. I sometimes need a second Wednesday to get the concept, or a third Wednesday, or all hell breaks loose on Tuesday and I need a recap. Come on, somebody. So I'm excited about this series, although I struggled in prayer this past week with what direction to go because there is probably four or five different revelations that we could go just from the term cancel culture, but we're going to dive into this tonight, and I'm excited about it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Not Hollywood, not Washington, not society, not culture, not family, unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love one translation says, which is not too much to ask, comparing what Jesus did for us. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Colossians 2:8 sounds like it was written for April 7, 2020. Like Paul just watched CNN and Fox News and said, oh yeah, God wanted me to tell you this. This is our first installment in the series, Cancel Culture. Cancel Culture. Turn to your neighbor and tell them there's some things that need to be canceled. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Cancel culture defined, a lot of definitions when you start talking about cancel culture. It's a modern form of ostracism. It is to dismiss something or somebody, to reject an individual or idea. It is drastic efforts to silence, to banish, or punish the offending party. Now, let me preface this entire series by this statement. We are never supposed to cancel people. We are supposed to cancel things, forces that cause people to act a certain way. So check this out. We cannot cancel people. Well, Pastor, you talk and preach all the time that you got to cut this person off and you got to delete this and block them. This is what you got to understand. You never cancel the person. However, if their life is being dictated by something or acting a certain way or living a certain way, you don't cancel the person. But by canceling their lifestyle, Sometimes it removes them from your life. Just like I would never cancel the drug addict. But if he continually keeps bringing drugs around me and my family, I cancel the drug use and I cancel the drug culture. Why? Because I've got a 17-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter that I'm still trying to teach morality and the word of God and not have them bow to what they hear and what might be in vogue and what might be acceptable by cultural standards. And so I don't cancel the person, but I cancel how they're living their life. But I do not cancel them in such a way that I give up on them and I do not give them a way back. To cancel someone without giving them a way to come back is so anti-Jesus, it's not funny. Anytime that we come to somebody and we tell them, if you are going to live your life this way, let me tell you, it's going to change our relationship. I'm not going to be able to kick it with you. I'm not going to be able to go on vacation with you. But let me tell you, when you get your life right, when things change, let me just tell you, I'm always going to be there for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm always going to be standing in the gap for you. And when you're ready to come back into my life, I'm ready to receive you. However, I can't be around that. And if you're around that, then I can't be around you. I felt the need to preface what we're about to say because when we dive into this cancel culture concept, in 2021, cancel culture has really not been given to things or to lifestyles or to moral decisions, morality. Cancel culture has been used against people. Cancel culture's very foundation is flawed because it is rooted in the claim that truth is an individual claim and that truth is subjective. However, we know as believers that truth is not evolving, that truth does not change, that truth is not subjective because truth is not a collection of personal feelings and or experiences. Truth is a person and his name is Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says this, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you understand that in the day that we're living in, quoting that scripture is going to try to get you canceled? But I'm here to tell you, you can cancel me all you want, but God is too big to cancel. You can't cancel his word. You can't cancel his move. His move is actually bigger when people try to cancel him. We just celebrated the resurrection. You know what the resurrection was? It was an answer to an entire world that was trying to cancel Jesus, his word, his move, and the reason he came to the earth. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to stand on the word of God. Why? Because the world's going to try to cancel you. The world's going to try to cancel God's vision and purpose for your life. But I've got news for everybody that tries to cancel you and the promise that God has on you. It's not about you. It's about the God that's on the inside. And God is too big to cancel. You should have canceled me before I met Jesus. Cancel culture is birthed in phrases like this. Your truth. My truth. You hear it a lot in millennials. I'm just trying to give you my truth. I don't care what your truth is. Your truth is not truth. That's how you feel. And your truth is made up of how you feel today. But guess what? How you feel today is probably going to be different than how you feel this time next month. And then your truth's going to be different. That's why I love Jesus, because Brandon Fender is all over the place. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I don't dictate, and you should not dictate your life by pop culture. We get pop culture from the word popular culture. Guess what? Popularity changes. The music you and I grew up listening to is not popular. I remember Jodeci came on the other day, and Jaden said, "Ugh, what's this?" I said, "What's this?" Besides gospel music, it's the most anointed thing that this generation has ever seen. But because it's not popular anymore, and then what they say is music, is not even music. It's overproduced synthesizers. But it's what's popular. And so a person, as they grow, what's popular changes. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is the same. It's as strong today as it was 2,000 years ago. Should I live another 55 years, which I plan to do, it will be just as strong in 2076. Whoa, that's old. 2076 as it is in 2021. That's why I'm not making decisions based on what I see. I'm not making decisions based on what I hear. I'm making decisions based on the only thing in my life that does not change. I change. You change. Culture changes, but the Word of God does not change. That's why however much time we spend out in the world, we better spend just as much time in the Word. As much time as we hear this going on, we better be talking to God just as much. Why? Because you're hearing things that are always changing. We all know people that used to vote Republican, now they vote Democrat, or vice versa. We all know people who have changed. Man, you've changed is what they say. If you change or I change, that means our perception of truth changes. But Jesus never changes. That's why if you can get them when you're young, get them when you're young, because that means you get to put your feet on the rock that is there to stay, that never changes. The Bible says there is no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. The Jesus you met at the altar is the same Jesus you're going to meet in the valley. It's the same Jesus that's going to be on the mountaintop. Somebody say Jesus never changes. Cancel culture is birthed in phrases like your truth and my truth, which is absurd. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know just in jest, while I'm talking to my wife, Mandy, we will say things, and I'll say something that's very strong or very brash about a situation, and she'll look at me, and she's probably said this phrase 1,000 times in the last 18 years that we've been married. Oh, Brandon. That's her disappointed statement. And I will always say, I'm just speaking truth, and the truth will make you free. She said, no, you're speaking your truth, because that truth you're talking about is capital T. It's not something you've heard. It's a person. And so when we start talking about truth, we better make sure that that truth is founded in the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ, because that's the only truth that really matters. There is only one truth, and we don't get to decide what that truth is. The truth changes us. We don't change the truth. When I met Jesus and when you met Jesus, there should be a difference in our life, that when our lie of a life came into contact with the truth that is Jesus Christ, it changed things about us. Put your hand in the air and wave at me if you're different than the day you got saved. Come on now. I am changed. I am not who I used to be. I don't talk like I used to talk. I got a brand new set of friends. My vision changed. Where I go on Friday nights, what I do on Thursday nights, all of that changed. How I come to church, how I view coming to church, what I do when I'm in the church, all of that has changed when I met Jesus. Why? Because the truth will change you, but you can never change the truth. And that's why some people get so upset, because they can't manipulate God like they manipulate people. They can't change God like they change people. And so they get mad, they get frustrated. But here on this side of faith, where we live, where you and I operate daily, where we go to work and go to school and have our relationships, on this side of truth, I'm so glad that I know Jesus on a Wednesday night. I'm so glad that truth will sometimes slap me across the face and say, Brandon, that is not who I've called you to be. That is not how you're supposed to be acting. I'm so glad that truth keeps me married. Praise God. I'm so glad that truth keeps me sober. I'm so glad that, oh, come on now. It's been too long since some of you been on a stool on a Friday night. It's been a long time since you maybe been drunk or strung out on drugs, but it's the truth that keeps you delivered. It's the truth that keeps you in church. It's the truth that keeps you from going crazy in a culture that is doing its best to take you there. Cancel culture. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I always use King James Version for this because other translations change one part of this. And if you've heard me preach this, I've preached this many times, but I always feel a need to stop here, especially we've got a lot of new believers here at Living Way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A lot of translations put the word as a living sacrifice. That is not what Paul said. He said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means our entire being, who we are, belongs to God. We sacrifice not as in dying. We don't die for him. We live for him. And by living for him, everything that's a part of our life has to point to Jesus. If it doesn't point to Jesus, we have fallen into the conforming to the world and not being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So he says this, I beg you, I beseech you, I encourage you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy. Holy. If you're holy, there's some things you can't do. If you're holy, there's some places you shouldn't go. Why? Because those places will rob you of your holiness. Because your holiness is not found in you, it is found in God. And so holiness has to, oh my God, I'm going to preach. Holiness has to follow you outside of the building on Wednesday night. Holiness is not just a dress code. Holiness is not just four words that we're not allowed to say. Holiness is, listen, this is how I view it. The Bible says that when the veil was ripped from top to bottom, the holiest of holy places was now open, and we as believers can go and boldly approach God. So when I talk about holiness, I'm not talking about dress code and do's and don'ts. I'm talking about the most intimate place I can be in God. And when I'm in that place, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. And I operate at a different level. Young man walked up to me a few weeks ago and said, Pastor Brandon, I'm finding it so hard to live for God outside of church. And I said, "That." He said, why do you think that is? I said, that's easy. I said, you worship a building, not a God. And when you're worshiping here, you're not pulling pornography up on your phone. When you're praying here, you're not throwing back shots of Jack. When you're sitting there, you're not going to the hotel room with somebody you're not married to. But we treat church as a house of truth. And we treat church as the place where God lives. When the veil was torn from top to bottom, church, we got Jesus, we got God out of church. We got God all what the devil meant for evil. All he did when he shut down Living Way for 5 weeks in 2020 was he just reminded and unleashed thousands of believers, and the church was unleashed. The church left the building. Truth walked the streets of San Antonio. Truth took to the airwaves like never before. I loved Easter Sunday of 2020. The building was empty, but so many people tuned in on live streams around the world that it crashed servers. Why? Because the devil said, I know how to stop the church. I'll just shut down the house. But the devil's so dumb that he's still dealing in the Old Testament. God don't live in the church anymore. God lives in the people of God. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We house the anointing. We house the Spirit of God. We house the Word of God. Therefore, wherever you go, you are Jesus. Wherever you go, you take His Word. Wherever you show up, the glory shows up. I don't worship. Can I be honest with you? My best worship today has not been in the last 45 minutes. Because a friend of mine this morning posted that she was listening on Insta Story to a song called Sinking Deep. It's one of my favorite songs right now. So when I got into my truck at 7:30 this morning, I put Sinking Deep on repeat. I had so much Shekinah in that truck. It was like a Cheech and Chong movie. I was having to slow down. Why? Because the glory filled not a temple. The glory filled the truck. Why? Because holy showed up, not because of me, but because I house. See that you're the church. I'm the church. What happens at church? Prayer happens at church. Worship happens at church. People come to an altar to be healed at church. People come to an altar to be delivered at church. People are filled with the Holy Ghost at church. People receive vision at church. I'm still not talking a building. I'm talking about wherever you are. That's what's supposed to happen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. You cannot be accepted unless you're holy. We've got way too many preachers preaching cool cliches and nice little sermons, and it preaches good to other preachers or mature believers. But can I tell you that when you got crackheads coming off the street, can I tell you when you got people that are dealing with spiritual issues and they're bipolar and they're going through and they're depressed one day and they're up one day and we got real issues, can I tell you that cliches are not going to be what reaches them, but the holiness of God and the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the blood of Jesus, that's what, I loved it on Sunday. I love Sunday just preaching the cross. And 80 people show up on the altar saying, I want that Jesus. Oh, we could have preached something different. We could have given them a show, but more than give them a show, I want to give them something they can take with them for the rest of their life, that they can take with them to the gates of heaven. And the Apostle Peter said, come on in. You're accepted because you're holy. Holiness is not preached. Holiness is not preached because it's a standard that we feel like, how can I live up to it? Let me encourage you. You and I can never live up to holiness. That's why I got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost allows me to operate in holiness. Well, what about your flesh? The Holy Ghost allows me to operate in holiness. If I have the Holy Ghost, my flesh is going to be crucified. If I have the Holy Ghost, when that thought pops into my mind, the Holy Ghost is going to say, nope, we're going to take that thought into captivity. That's against what God has planned for you. That's going to rob you of your holiness. And if it takes away your holiness, you can't be accepted. Holy and acceptable. This is a hard truth that I'm about to say. At the end of my day, I do not want to ask, did I please Mandy today? I might want to ask that. But the most important question in my life is God pleased with how I lived my life today? So what does this have to do with cancel culture? We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. In 18 years of leading my family, there has been times where Mandy has scratched her head saying, I don't understand why you're doing this. And I just had to tell her, do you believe that I follow God? Yes, I do. Then buckle up your seatbelt because it's going to be bumpy for the next few months. But I'm following God. Why? Because at the end of my life, I want to be where God wants me to be, not where my wife wants me to be. I want my wife to be where God wants her to be, not where I want her to be. I want my children where God wants them to be, not where I want them to be. Can I just be totally transparent with you? Man, I've been having conversations with my kids, and I've been talking to them about their future. And, of course, they're 17 and 14. And so I believe they hear from God, and I believe that God's doing stuff. But when they start talking about leaving San Antonio, oh, it hurts. But I would rather them go where God wants them to go and be what God wants them to be. When Tyler was born, I said, God, I know you've got a great plan for him, but he might never be a pastor. He might be a lawyer, but let him be a Christian lawyer. My daughter might never be a worship leader or a preacher or a pastor, but God, if she's a doctor, let her be a spirit-filled doctor. I don't have to share the platform with them. I just want them serving at a church somewhere that's loving God, that is holy and acceptable, because at the end of their life, it's not, well done, thou good and faithful daughter. You did everything you wanted your dad to do. It's, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every place, everything, every word that I wanted said and done, you did it in spades. Holy and acceptable. Some of us are living for the opinion of our friends and those that are closest to us and ignoring what God said. Some of us are bowing to popular culture, and we are making statements and stands. Isn't it amazing how loud we can get about everything else? Isn't it amazing how when something doesn't go my way, I get loud and I want to raise up an army for my cause? But when the church is trying to be silenced, when abortion is the law of the land, when they are robbing the sanctity of marriage, we just say, well, I'm not going to fight that fight, and I've got family members who think this way, and it could affect my job. Come on, there's bigger things than your family dynamic at Thanksgiving. There is bigger things than you keeping your $60,000 a year job. You say, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. Come on, I'm here to tell you, I'm ready to go to prison preaching Jesus. I'm ready to go to jail preaching truth. I'm here to stand. I'm not bowing to culture, and I'm not going to let them cancel Living Way. I'm not going to let them cancel. They can't tell me what to preach. They can't tell me what to say. They can't tell me I'm being bigoted or intolerant. If the Word of God says it, I'm not tiptoeing around it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it hard. I'm going to preach it under the Spirit, and I believe that God will make up the difference. And I say it jokingly, but I say it in all seriousness. If you put me in prison, I will become a Paul to that prison. I will preach the jailer saved. I will preach the inmate saved. I will baptize. I will lay hands. The difference between Prison Brandon and Wednesday Night Brandon is Prison Brandon has a captive audience. You can get up and leave anytime you want tonight. You put me in a cell with 15 guys. You say, oh, you say that now. What do I got to lose? See, as believers, what do we have? Cancel us. You can't cancel us. Well, you can't say that. If you say that from the pulpit in Living Way Church, we're going to take you down to Bexar County Jail. Great. Thousands of inmates. There's more inmates than there are Living Way members. Great. We'll put you in solitary. Oh, great. I need a time of fasting and prayer. You're laughing. I've thought about this. Paul was put in solitary confinement. Go to the street called Straight and stay there. But when Paul came out, what did he do? He wrote the Bible. When Paul came out, what did he do? He was bringing people to Jesus like crazy. I'm here to tell you, culture does not define who you are. Don't let them quiet you down. Don't let them dictate you. If Facebook keeps censoring your posts when you mention Jesus, keep posting about it. Find different ways to post about it. Get on Twitter. Twitter shuts you down. Get on Instagram. If Instagram shuts you down, get on Parler. Parler shuts you down. Get on Snapchat. If Snapchat shuts you down, get on TikTok. If they all shut you down, go to the street corner and just preach Jesus. Stand on your feet. Again, I told you there's so many ways we could go, and my plan in the next 3 or 4 weeks is to talk about things we should cancel. There's a lot of things that we're dealing with that should be canceled in the believer's life. But before we get to that place, we have to get to a place before we start canceling. We make the stand and say, you can't cancel me. Can't quiet me down. Chris Vaught, I don't know if many people have heard this story. I've shared it a lot on the road, and I've shared it a lot next door. Chris Vada, right here on the front row, started a Bible study at Judson High School. And while everybody was praying one day a year around the flagpole, see you at the pole day, Chris was having prayer at the pole three times a week, plus Bible study. And those groups grew from three or four to 15 or 20. Then Chris started telling me, hey, at Bible study yesterday, I was laying hands on people. They're falling out on public school campuses, falling out, being filled with the Holy Ghost. UTSA, 10 years ago, had a pornography for Bibles. You bring us your Bible, we give you pornography. So the Christian group on campus said, hey, if you can do that, they set up right next to him and said, you bring us your pornography, we'll bring you Bible. You got to understand this. Your voice cannot be silent. But this is what I want to encourage you. Not only can it not be silenced, you better have something to say. And it better be the word of God. God is responsible for his word out of your mouth, not your word out of your mouth. But before we can cancel doubt, anxiety, and sickness, and all of these things, we have to prove and make the statement to the world, can't cancel. Can't cancel. Wherever you put me, I'm going to speak truth. Wherever I go, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to love. We're going to bring Deborah George back soon. I don't know if you guys remember Miss Deborah, that little soul winning. She's like this tall, just a soul winner. I love Deborah because wherever we take her, she's like the Energizer Bunny. She's just witnessing. You take her out to eat, she's witnessing. Take her on the street, she's witnessing. In the airport, she's witnessing. I remember we left this building a year and a half ago. There was some lady on a bicycle just laying out here in the yard. Deborah was like, go get some water. We led her to Christ right out here after church. Most pastors are wanting to go get tortillas by then. She's still in wherever you put me. Not going to cancel me. Can I encourage you that you've got a plan, a vision, and a purpose that God is going to move through you and fulfill and do, but the world's trying to cancel your voice. The world's trying to cancel your faith. The world's trying to cancel your peace. He knows if I can steal their peace, I can rob their faith. If I can take their joy, I can kill their purpose. The devil's done all he can do in the last 15 months to cancel Christians. But Living Way is full of believers that say, you can't cancel me. I'm living proof that I can take a licking and keep on ticking. That you can bring everything you've got, devil, and I'm going to keep standing here. And I'm going to live a life that is holy and acceptable, not to culture, but to God. If you feel like, man, I'm under attack and I want to get through this canceling thing, I want to prove to the enemy I can't be canceled so I can move on to bigger and better things, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to join us in this altar right now. Maybe it's canceling a plan, a purpose for your life. Maybe it's canceled. Maybe you got physical issues going on. Maybe people.